Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ho, 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 and welcome to the Ghibli Attack, the podcast that dashes through the snow of the world's greatest animation studio, Studio Ghibli. I'm Michael Leader.
I'm Steph Watts.
I'm Jake Cunningham.
And I'm Harold McShiel.
So join us on our festive quest into the glorious world of Ghibli. Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the festive Ghibli Attack podcast, also festive Ghibli Attack Library Cafe. What does that mean, Jake?
Well, it's, you know, it's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. You're just getting a subscription podcast in your regular feed. So as a little gift to all the Ghibli Attack fans out there, our Library Cafe, which would normally be our subscription-only service on Apple Podcasts, we've decided to give to everyone far and wide. It's truly a Christmas miracle. And this is just going to be our kind of retrospective look back at the year. But there's some treats to come, isn't there, Michael?
Oh, as always in these Christmas specials. But first, one thing we do with our Library Cafe episodes is we have this increasingly creaky metaphor that the episodes are recorded in the cafe outside the Ghibli Attack Library while we're taking a break from our revision, because those chats are often taking a break from talking about Ghibli, talking about all the other things we enjoy doing. And what we do is we sit down at the cafe and we're asking what snacks are we getting from the Ghibli Attack Library Cafe bar? I think, Harold, as you're very rarely on these podcasts, I'll come to you first. We're sitting down at the Library Cafe. It's Christmas time. They've changed their menu to be festive. What are you eating or drinking?
I will have a delicious, warming mug of eggnog, please.
What actually is eggnog? It's like a more American thing, right?
I think so. I was hoping you weren't going to ask that. I like the concept of it more than the reality.
I happened on one of the Simpsons Christmas specials recently, which is where Homer just buys a fridge full of eggnog because I just don't know what it is. It's like boozy milk, I guess.
Yeah. For someone who doesn't drink, it's a strange choice, but I feel convinced
have a virgin
that it would
eggnog,
be really
which
nice.
Is just an egg.
Yeah, hold the nog.
It's traditionally made with milk, cream, sugar, whipped egg whites, and egg yolks, which gives it a frothy texture and its names. Distilled spirits such as brandy, rum, whiskey, or bourbon are added as a key ingredient. So actually, a virgin eggnog is a normal eggnog, really.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that sounds intense, but potentially delicious.
Well, that's you sorted, Harold. Steph, what are you bringing to the cafe today?
Well, as it's 11 a.m. and it's Christmas, I'll have a strong gin and tonic, and probably a little mince pie. That's that's my mood for Christmas Day.
Jake,
I'll join Harold on the dairy train. It's the one time of year where I'll partake in a Bailey's. I'm a whiskey drinker anyway, so I've always got that. What? How are you looking at me? Confused.
I mean, I guess it is dairy. I was just surprised by it's Bailey's being the result.
It's
of
cream
being on the dairy train. Yeah. Irish cream.
Yeah,
delicious.
And so I drink whiskey all year round, and I'm not afraid to say it. But then a little Bailey's at Christmas over some ice is very, very nice. But then food wise, the time that we are recording, I was initially meant to be on a flight to Berlin, which sadly I could not be on. And something I love, being in Berlin, going to the market there and getting a currywurst, Yeah, it's just the sausage with the curry sauce in the little bun. That is the treat that I would like on the side of my Baileys, which I'm sure is a combination no one's ever had and probably no one ever should.
Yeah, I enjoy a Baileys because I'm not a drinker, but I do like my milkshakes and sweet drinks, and Baileys is probably the closest to something like that for me. But I suppose eating, again, we've got this very strange mixture of meals and drinks from around the day. We're recording this in the morning. Listeners, you may be listening at very different times of the day, so take your pick. What I basically live on at this time of year is something that could be eaten all year round but takes on a different taste quality during the winter months. It is mint choc chip ice cream.
Oh, yes.
And I'm working my way through the brands. I'm currently very, very in love with Minter Wonderland.
So good. So good.
So good. A great ratio of choc chip to ice cream.
And I love that it's not green, you know, because why would it be? That's just artificial. It's just pure flavour. Oh.
But the
mint
brand
leaves are
not
green. What are you talking about?
If they're just using extract, like they're not.
Yeah.
It's like
not crushing a mint leaf.
Yeah.
Not. But the brand I've not tried yet is the Jake Cunningham brand. Because you make ice cream, don't you, Jake? Have you made a mint choc chip?
I'm not brave enough. And the thing is, like, you kind of never want to meet your heroes, and that's mint choc is my ice cream hero. And if I tried to do it myself, I think I'd only disappoint myself and the item as well.
Right, I'll stick with the familiar brands for now and branch out maybe if you ever develop that bravery. But we've got ice cream, we've got curryverse, we've got the boozy options, the virgin options. We've got the whole Christmas menu covered here with the Library Cafe today. So the treats we have in store today, we're going to go back through our year, look back on all the things we've done. We're going to have some jukebox floor fillers, Ghibli style, from Harold, as we've had in previous Christmas specials. We also have a mailbag from listeners. You've been sending in your suggestions for the casting of a Ghibli nativity play, and we'll be looking ahead to what we have coming up in the new year. But first, before we say hello to 2022, we should wave goodbye to 2021. What have we been up to this year? We've done barely anything, Jake, have we?
Oh, Michael. You know we've done things. Yeah, what a start to the year. We began with the release of Earwig and the Witch, which, you know, I'm going to say it, I think is the best Studio Ghibli film of the year.
It's the best Studio Ghibli film that's been released in the podcast's lifetime, for sure.
Yeah, in many years, you know.
But what a milestone for us, right? We had a brand new Studio Ghibli release to discuss. And, you know, worth discussing. That episode was a lot of fun to put together.
Oh, yeah. And, well, to have Gorō Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki on the podcast. What a dream. Amazing. Considering, 3 years ago, just thinking that Ghibli was dead, we were just going to do the podcast of 24 episodes or so. That would be it. We put it in the ground, never think of it again. And now we're looking at a new film, talking to the people behind it. What a journey.
And we also branched out even further to cover other studios with the Cartoon Saluniverse miniseries. We've said before many times how much we loved their films. We interviewed Ross Stewart and Tom Moore way back when on the podcast. So being able to cover their films in depth all the way up to the final general release of Wolfwalkers, that was so wonderful as well. Those similar to Satoshi Kon, they're a studio where every film is worth seeing. So what a treat to do that.
Well, and then after that, and spending all the time with those films, what an honour to then be invited by Studio Canal to write the companion booklet for the box set release of the Irish Folklore Trilogy. And, oh man, like that's going to be the only time that Wolfwalkers gets a physical release is in that box set. So to have our words live alongside that is, very, very special indeed.
Absolutely. And of course, writing was a big part of our year, Jake, in terms of writing the Ghibli Attack book that kept us busy behind the scenes. But while the hype train was gathering steam in the run-up to the release of the Ghibli Attack book, we had our longest-running series yet with our Chat Returns interview series. So many amazing guests, so many highlights to shout out. Steph, who was your favourite out of those? Anyone that comes to mind?
Ooh, sorry. Ooh, I would have to say probably Mike Riander, director of Mitchells vs. the Machines. That was such a fun chat for such a fun film that came out kind of during this quite bizarre year. Also, Arlo Parks, kind of Mercury Prize winning artist. She was amazing to talk to, all about kind of her watching Ghibli while she's recording her album, and her fave Tales from Earthsea, which I know Jake was very pleased about.
Yes, well in, Arlo. And I think having her on the show was great because it kind of, it branched us out a bit as to like the artists that we expect to be directly influenced by Ghibli. And so I think that's something that I want to be carrying on with when we look at interviews down the line. It's like, who can we bring in who may not be an obvious like a filmmaker or animator, but is in another field, but is still like looking at these films for inspiration. So yeah, I dare say there'll be more interviews to come in 2022. And oh god, yeah, like after talking to her and Enrico Casarosso, who directed Luca, which is absolutely one of my favorites of the year, it's just been such a ride.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Jake. It was great for me to speak to hear from Erica Henderson, a comic book artist, also Siobhan Reddy from Media Molecule, giving us a video game kind of angle on Ghibli. So their influence goes so far and wide through all the creative arts. So yeah, expect more maybe in that vein in 2022, I suppose.
Will we do 12 in a row again? Who can say?
We need some more hours in the day, maybe. But then, of course, the Ghibli Tech book did come out in September. And we celebrated that by going out into the world, Jake, on the Ghibli Tech tour, where we went from London up to Glasgow, Dundee, Dumfries in Scotland, stopping by Portobello just outside of Edinburgh as well on the way, Nottingham, Hastings, your homecoming show. Just amazing to get out there to show Ghibli films on the big screen, particularly the documentary The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, which ironically we don't talk about in the book at all. That is not a Ghibli film, but it's a film about Ghibli and is very much in keeping with the themes that we've discussed on this show over the years, and it's just a great documentary. So to dust that off, rescue it from down the back of the sofa that's wherever it's been hiding at Studio Canal HQ, and show that four or five times we've done this year to audiences that hadn't had a chance to see it until now. Been really a treat. And then just to meet people who are interested in Ghibli, to vibe with them, argue with them, debate with them about the films. It's been so fun.
What a treat to bounce around the country doing that stuff. But speaking of things that are very, very special, regular listeners to the show and to the Christmas episode will know that we fly in, although he's expensive and he's got a pretty astonishing rider, he will occasionally appear on the podcast with some Ghibli versions of Christmas songs. Normally he's off in his studio up in the woods recording these with a mysterious super producer who even we don't know, and then he comes back with these songs that, you know, they're just sublime, really. And we never learn about how he actually does it. But this year, things all change because Harold McShiel is going to be doing his Ghibli songs live on the podcast.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you for that, that you know, humble introduction. It's a real pleasure to be here. Just to clarify, the rider is 13 bottles of eggnog. but yeah, we're gonna start today's proceedings with a rendition of "Merry Christmas, Everyone." This takes on a different flavour when the three of you are there. Oh God! Okay.
Should we look away?
Let's look away.
No. It's good. It's good to me under the glare. I'll have a run at it, and then I haven't actually sung through these, so I'll probably trip over some things, but it's all part of the fun. Rain is falling all around me. Children waiting for the bus. It's the feeling of raindrops on umbrellas. It's my neighbor, Totoro. Time for growing a magic forest. Sisters dancing all night long. Time for soot sprites and exchanging corn cobs. Time for playing ocarina songs. It's the feeling of raindrops on umbrellas. It's my neighbor, Totoro.
Oh.
Done in one, you know? Amazing. Boom. It's like the Libertines, you know? You just record what's in the room and that's it. That's the album.
Absolutely.
Just perfect. What a beautiful rendition, Harold. Amazing, amazing stuff. And what a privilege to be here to experience it live. Yeah.
You lucky people.
Yeah. Well, and we were about to move on to our best stuff of the year, but what's the point now? Presumably it's just going to be that.
Just this.
Whew, and there's more of that to come as well. A few more songs from Harold, so make sure you stick around. Wow, wow, wow. All right, Harold. So we'll go to you first then. So for our best stuff of the year, we're going to quickly rattle through films, books, games, and music. I'll ask you for your film first.
Sure thing. So it would have to be Dune. Partly circumstantial. Saw it in the IMAX, and it was on my birthday. And didn't know what film I was seeing until literally the opening of the opening scene of the film started playing out, and it was a real treat. Very much enjoyed it.
And you learned that you were seeing Dune Part One.
Yeah. I'd like another 35 to 40 hours of this, please.
Okay, all right. And your book?
Oh, book of the year has to be Bob Mortimer's autobiography, And Away, which he's like a second father figure to me, a hero, and the book is just a poignant and surprisingly sad but also joyful account of his sort of simple yet wonderful life.
And the book was tied to a little mystery as well.
Oh, good. So I received the book around the time of my birthday, and without any note. I was like, this is a lovely present. And it's signed by Bob as well, so a sort of early version. I was like, who's got me this? There's no note. So I messaged a few people, including Jake, because I'm often banging on at him about Bob Mortimer, and got some kind of like, it's a nice present, but I don't know, it's nothing to do with me. And after a bit of sort of pondering, I was no, it was me. I pre-ordered it ages ago, completely forgot about it, and then got convinced that some mysterious benefactor. So my mysterious benefactor is me.
That is the ultimate. What do you get for the man who has everything? Just nothing, because he'll get it for himself.
Absolutely.
I find Bob Mortimer's character development from sort of 90s comedian into full-blown British national treasure in the last few years really astonishing. Mm. I would not have thought that book would be quite high on my anticipation list to use my book tokens on after Christmas.
And if anyone hasn't seen it, get the Christmas special of Gone Fishing on. Because that is just absolutely lovely.
Absolutely.
And if anyone hasn't even seen Gone Fishing, watch it all. There's like four series and a Christmas special to watch now. Just the loveliest program out there.
Big time.
All right, Harold. So that's film and book. What about game?
Purely for the number of hours I've sunk into it, but which is reflective of my enjoyment of it. But Assassin's Creed Valhalla has been a lovely place to spend a lot of time doing awful things to people with swords and axes and the like.
Which, what's the theme of Valhalla? Because they rotate, right?
So it's Vikings and the sort of Viking lore. It's based in England. Most of your time is spent in England, which is quite nice, including a little a sort of spin-off quest up the River Exe, which is a nice touch for me as I grew up in Exeter. But yeah, it's Vikings in England, and killing lots of Saxons.
As the Assassin's Creed franchise goes on, it was originally a stealth assassin murder game where you'd be clambering around rooftops for four or five stories high and humongous monuments and cathedrals and everything. And now you can't imagine stealthy Vikings. Is it still stealthy?
No, it's not. It's definitely not as stealthy as the as previous iterations have been. There is the option. I mean, I guess it's sort of... that was its point of difference when it was getting going, but now it doesn't rely on it as much. You can play it in a... It's quite nice to have that a bit more freedom, I suppose, to do it, to approach Absolutely. It. You can either go in double-wielding two-handed battle axes and chopping everyone to pieces, or you can still use your hidden blade to leap off a local church to murder a vicar.
Can you jump from a height into a bale of hay still?
Oh, absolutely. And
great.
That's the most important I'm sold. Part.
From literally any riots. Height.
All right, then. So last thing, music. What's it going to be?
Yeah, so thinking about this one, it's a slight curveball, I guess, but I'd say classic FM. It's been a firm friend through both the day and night over the majority of the year. It initially came into focus around the birth of my daughter Martha last year. I think simply because someone once said that from kind of brain development, having classical music in the background can be a good thing. But we got to quite like it, and so have just had it on and all the time. It has that slightly frustrating thing of constant rotation, so you hear the same classical bangers multiple times through the day and night, but yeah, I've had a lot of fun with it. And then you get the there's a Saturday night film show where you get all the film scores, which we always look forward to.
Well, knowing your preference for Jurassic Park as a cultural landmark,
oh, yeah.
You get a lot of Jurassic Park on Classic FM. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. And Jonathan Creek. The two very, you know, two really important things in my life.
I set my my radio alarm to Classic FM for a bit, thinking it would be a nice calming way to wake up. And then, yeah, normally at like 7 a.m. I just hear, and here is the theme from Jurassic Park, and just wake up to like the which is like not what I was really expecting, but it's a fun station.
Harold, thank you for your very personal, eccentric, unique picks of the year there. Steph, what was your favourite film of the year?
Favourite film, probably because I didn't really watch much new stuff this year, and just because it's the most recent but amazing thing that I think I've watched, was Drive My Car, the Hamaguchi 3-hour epic. Saw it at the tiny ICA Screen 2 on a Sunday, and it was packed out. It was packed out. It was really hard to actually find a screening that wasn't sold out, I think, because everybody is realizing like how good this film is. And yeah, just kind of maybe like half an hour in, there's a shot of these kind of turning wheels of the car that fades perfectly into the turning reels of a cassette tape. And I was just like, yes, this is it. This is the best thing I've seen all year, like instantly. Yeah, just really fantastic. And sometimes I feel like you think, am I enjoying this film because everyone's told me it's an amazing film. But then, yeah, kind of halfway through, I was like, no, this is actually really, really good. And I kind of can't wait to go and see it again. I think I'll probably...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Try and find another screening next year if it's still being shown. Yeah, great movie. Would recommend.
Oh, would second that recommendation wholeheartedly. Do you have a book of the year?
This is where I stop recommending things that came out this year, because all my other stuff is just first time experiences of old things. But I read Annie Proulx's The Shipping News. She wrote the story that Brokeback Mountain is based on, and I think quite a lot of her stuff is about kind of like America and kind of small town, like new American places. But The Shipping News is like a 90s book about a guy who moves to Newfoundland, like a teeny tiny town in Canada, and starts working for a local newspaper. And his job is to report the ships that come into the harbour and go out again, and also do like really morbid stuff like report on car crashes, because there's loads of them, because I think it's so like icy and everyone like drink drives and stuff. It's a really strange book. It's like really funny. I could imagine like Wes Anderson making it into a film. It's got that kind of vibe, but yeah, it really like stuck with me, and it was such a random buy because I was looking for the Brokeback Mountain short stories, but I picked up that instead. But yeah, just really, really great book, that a surprising find.
Yeah. It's a bit different from maybe the last time we spoke about books. You were very deep in Clive Barker, I think, at that point.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a gear change
blood.
From that. What's your game of the year? What classic are you going to pull out of the archives for us in games?
Old classic was Alan Wake, which I played when I was isolating COVID, and just it's just so good. And I've like got to the point now where I'm like, I just want to play Alan Wake again. Like, I go to play a game and I'm like, it's not Alan Wake, is it? Like, I'm not trawling through the woods with the narration saying it was like something out of a Stephen King novel, or like shooting guys and just going through these kind of obviously slightly dodgy, because I didn't play the remastered version, I played the old one. So some slightly dodgy kind of angular faces and cars and movements. But it doesn't really matter when the story is so fun. And yeah, I guess that satisfied my kind of need for, yeah, Clive Barker-esque horror. Such a fun game. Good fun. And I will probably be playing the remastered version if I can get my hands on it.
If we ever do more video game stuff, we should make Jake play that game, because yes, it's very Twin Peaks-y as well, isn't it? Like, very consciously so.
Oh yeah, there's literally a cafe that I think they've recreated the diner from Twin Peaks in there. Yeah,
this sounds right up my street.
It's also just hilarious. It's by the studio based in Finland, and their lead writer is called Sami Järvi, and Järvi is means lake in Finnish, so he goes by the pen name Sam Lake. Sam Lake writes a game called Alan Wake about a writer. It's all very sort of self-referential in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way, but also takes those elements of the horror and the mystery quite seriously too. What's your music of the year, Steph?
I'm kind of similar to Harold, that I've picked a radio show. It's the Do You Breakfast Show with DJ Charlie Bones. It was on like NTS, which is like a kind of big internet radio system where you can listen to 5 million programs. But he moved it to just be like an independent thing. It's basically 3 hours in the morning of just like amazing tunes. I think he runs it just like out of his living room. And I think what's really fun about the show is like you never hear the same song twice in a week. And it has like a call-in feature where if you call in to request a song, you then have to sing the song for it to like get played. So kind of at like 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, I'll just hear, you know, a stranger on the show just singing like a really lovely song. It's just so fun. And I think it's been really nice to listen to like over the past year or so. We've just been like sitting at home and only talking to people through Zoom and stuff. The kind of conversation aspect is really great. And yeah, just like genuinely really great jams to listen to for the morning. So yeah, that's my recommendation.
That's lovely.
But that's my stuff. I want to ask you now, Michael. Favourite book of the year?
Oh, book of the year. So I didn't read many books this year. I think that was the thing that fell by the wayside. But one book, so my to-read list is massive. And because my birthday is quite close to Christmas, I end up with a lot of book tokens for buying new stuff. But one book I did buy almost immediately as it came out and read was the new book by Douglas Walk, who's a cultural critic. He's written about comics and music over the years. But his new book is called All the Marvels. And it is a book written after a project he went through to read every single issue that Marvel Comics published pretty much from 1962 to the present day. And how do you process that information if you take Marvel publishing as one, you know, the greatest continuous narrative that will never end in the English language or maybe in publishing in general in the history of storytelling? So he breaks down by chapter following individual characters. So there is a chapter on Spider-Man, on X-Men, on Thor, and just looking at the recurring themes, the peaks and troughs, the ruts that some of these stories get into when you're telling a story for 50, 60 years with different writers, illustrators, editors, different publishing regimes handling those characters. And if you're like me, maybe getting a little bit tired of comic book movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe this year put out more than ever with 3 feature-length films and multiple TV series as well. And none of them really did it for me. And I'm not particularly excited by any of them. They all had flaws. Reading about the crazy inspiration that goes into the comics, but also the way to process all of that, has been really inspiring, the way that of looking at characters. So there's the corporate characters that we see on screen, but then the corporate characters in the comics where the crazy creatives do have some sway and can make some difference. It's a really fascinating book if you're interested in comics history or getting further into comics, or maybe you read some comics off the back of films but you've never gone back into the wild times of the 60s, 70s and 80s. That's a good book for that, based around such an intriguing premise. That's All the Marvels by Douglas Walk.
How big is that book? Because
it's only like 400 pages, 400 pages in hardback. It's not massive. So the chapters would be like a 30-page chapter on Spider-Man, where the key ingredient is Peter Parker can never be happy, because that's the key thing about Spider-Man, is that he needs to feel anxious about his status. He needs to feel fear for his loved ones. He needs to be hidden in the shadows behind his secret identity. And the ultimate failure, he can't be the one coming out on top, because then the story completely breaks around it. So things like that, what is the big theme behind some of these characters when you've read all the comics?
All right, so best film?
Film. I did love Drive My Car, but a film that I've now watched twice. I've not watched Drive My Car again since the London Film Festival, but a film that I've watched twice, so I can confirm it's definitely a film I'd recommend, one of my favourites of the year, is Belle, Mamoru Hosoda's latest film, premiered in Cannes, has had a great year since. A lot of hype behind it. It's certainly the biggest anime film of the year, one of the biggest animation of the year. It's going to be in Oscar contention, I'm sure. Anyone who's seen a Mamoru Hosoda film before, like The Girl Who Leapt Through Time or Summer Wars or Boy and the Beast, Wolf Children, lots of familiar threads in this one. It's about a teenage girl who has her various anxieties and hang-ups in the real world, but then goes on to this expansive, virtual, global social media world of You, which has a biometric high-concept app that scans your being, your very soul, and creates a new version of you in this online world. And she goes from being a shy teenage girl to being like the pop diva of that world. And it's got so much to it. It's his retelling of Beauty and the Beast as well, because she is the beauty of you, and there's a mystery about this beast-like character who's the scapegoat and pariah of that world. It's a lot. Anyone who knows Hosoda's films knows that that he likes to pack in ideas and stories and concepts, but it, for me, it really comes together at the end. It's the film that's most moved me this year on both viewings. It's really amazing. It's coming out both in the US and in the UK in the early months of 2022, and we may be talking more about that very soon.
Favourite game of the year?
Game. So I have played more games this year. If I went on the Harold route and what game I've sunk the most time into, it would be the Forza franchise, which I think I've talked about on some of the Library Cafe episodes in the past. My son is very into cars, and the Forza racing games have like all of the actual real car models. And then because of that, my partner and I have now, almost with Stockholm Syndrome, actually got really into the Forza games, and Forza 5 came out this year. A great open world exploration game as well as a racing game. But I would say my game of the year is a game called Sable, which is an independent game made by a very small studio. Their first game, in fact. And it is an open world exploration game, not too dissimilar from something like Zelda Breath of the Wild, where you're just sort of dropped into this big open world, told to go and explore it. There's some light puzzling, there's no conflict, you have a hover bike. The story is about a young character who's going out into the world to find what profession they want to take up. And it's got incredible Ghibli vibes. Take a look at any of it in motion, any of the stills. The worlds look like it could have been taken from something like Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. But also, I think it captures something at the heart of so many other Ghibli films, which is about coming of age and the big existential questions of going out into the world like Kiki's Delivery Service or finding your craft like Whisper of the Heart. And it feels just like a wonderful, very different open world game. We're used to open world games being like Assassin's Creed or Grand Theft Auto or Breath of the Wild, felt revolutionary at the time, and this feels like a good development on from that. Sable, really strong recommendation from me, and an amazing soundtrack as well from Japanese Breakfast.
Yeah, I really like the open-endedness of that game where it's kind of like just come back when you're ready.
Yeah,
that's the kind of big story quest.
And no real sort of over narrated or overwritten world building. So it's sort of a deserty kind of planet at times, but then you'll have these huge mountains and monuments to previous civilizations that you don't really know much about. It very much is reminiscent of, there's a bit in, is it the end of Fellowship of the Ring or the beginning of Two Towers, where they're rowing down the river and you see the gate that opens and it's the two massive elf guys. And it's like, I'm sure in the book there's a whole story about what that means, but in the film it's just so evocative. And Sable has that as well, where you pick a horizon and you go in that direction and you'll find the remains of humongous spaceships from many generations past. And it's, yeah, really evocative.
I agree. Great game. And lastly, favourite music of the year.
It's a bit less of a personal and resonant pick than yours and Harold's, but I just want to shout out the album The Art of Losing by The Anchoress, which I bought much earlier in the year, and it's this great chamber pop kind of goth kind of prog eclectic album by the multi-talented multi-instrumentalist and producer who goes by the pen name The Anchoress. It's really, really great, and the reason why it's in my mind is that it's just been announced as the best prog album of the year by Prog Magazine, which is one of those weird situations where I never would have called this prog, but they're clearly calling it that, and I think she's taking it. It's definitely got Kate Bush vibes, if that's your sort of deal, or Tori Amos, who's a big part of my music taste. I'd recommend picking that up.
Well, having witnessed Harold do Wuthering Heights on karaoke the night before this very record, I'm sure he'll be jumping at the chance to listen to that one.
Absolutely. Well, maybe then, Jake, now's a good time for me to pick up with you and ask you about your... Let's start with favourite game of the year.
Ooh, I'm going to cop out and do a game series, and any subscribers will probably be unsurprised to hear that that is the Uncharted series. I kind of did it in a funny order, where I started with Uncharted 4 and then worked my way back through 1, 2 and 3. This is when I was briefly loaned a PS4 and I've now handed it back and cry every night. But I just had such a fun time with them. Less fun when you're just having to fire bullets at the same guys endlessly, but when it's all puzzles and quests and basically Indiana Jones the game, I'm just having such a good time with it. I'm all about that exploration and that puzzle life. I do have a Nintendo Switch. Sable hasn't come to the Switch yet, so when it does, by the sounds of what you guys are talking about, I will really enjoy it, and it will scratch some of those itches from handing back the Uncharted. But gosh, yeah, I had such a good time with those games.
Wonderful. Yeah, Uncharted is one that, as a staunch Xbox user, I am incredibly jealous of you PS owners or loanees. But yeah, it still hasn't pushed me over.
No, I think it was the only game since Breath of the Wild where, when I had a clear Saturday or Sunday or something, I thought, I'm going to do like 4 hours right now, and I'm going to have such a good time. And I haven't had any other game this year that I've had that same kind of excitement to just plunder into for such an extended period of time.
Very nice. How about music?
Oh, music. I'm not that cool and don't listen to as much new music as I used to. So there's not like a new album this year that I can really kind of say was hugely impactful. The album that I've loved the most this year is All Things Must Pass, the George Harrison album. I hadn't listened to loads of Beatles solo stuff before, but I got into listened to this album at the start of the year. Every time when we were taking the book on tour and we went into a record shop, I'd always check to see whether they had a copy of it, and if they did, it was generally never less than 80 quid. But one day I will treat myself to it. I love it. I think it's an incredibly moving album. It's so eclectic in its style. Like there's some stuff that's kind of wah-wah-y, heavy metal-y stuff. Like that wah-wah's the name of a song. But like that's a kind of a loud, brash, like almost headbanger type track. But then just some really gentle, very sad, but kind of what you imagine George Harrison to be. You always imagine him as that kind of the emotionally available Beatle, and it is that, and it's so nice to hear him kind of push you at the expectations of what you expect George Harrison to be. And yeah, considering all the other stuff that I've listened to from all the other Beatles, I think this is the best Beatles solo album, and it's been something that I keep going back to this year.
Great. That's a big claim. George Harrison, famously, at least in my household, is my mum's favourite Beatle.
He's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Then what about books, Jake?
Book of the year would be Crying in H-Mart, which is a book from this year, Michelle Zorner, who goes under the moniker Japanese Breakfast as a musician who coincidentally composed the music for Sable. And this is her memoir, which covers mostly the period of her mum's diagnosis with terminal cancer and the experience of watching her go through that, but how that ties to their relationship specifically through Korean food. And so this is just a shared passion point between her and her mum. And so the book obviously takes you through that very emotional process of watching a parent die, but just all tied to the experience of, well, this trauma is happening, but then you're balancing that with the memories of certain dishes and watching that parent make that dish with you or teach you about it or go to a restaurant where you first discover X, Y, or Z with that person. Yeah. And so listeners will know how much I'm obsessed with the food in the Ghibli films, and so it probably comes as no surprise how much I enjoyed this book.
Ah, it sounds entirely lovely. Yeah. And I mean, we've kind of covered film in as much as, you know, I know it's Earwig and the Witch, but if there are any others that have that have crept into view for you this year, what would you say was the best of them?
So I think we've all kind of said Drive My Car's really good, and I won't bore anyone by saying that. Maybe my favourite cinema experience was going to see Ryosuke Hamaguchi's earlier film Happy Hour, which is an absolute beast at 5 hours and 17 minutes. And I saw it at the close-up centre with a motley crew who really went through the ringer on that one with me. And what a journey it was. But probably from this year would be Petite Maman, the Celine Sciamma film, 72 minutes of bliss, and absolutely kind of a perfect double bill with My Neighbor Totoro. Just the magic of watching children be kind of free and innocent and kind and gentle, combined with just the tiniest little fantasy element that is just utter magic, and some really, really good music too. Just a perfect film, and I think a great one for Christmas as well. So if you've got people around the telly, no one knows quite what to watch. I don't actually think it's available yet, so maybe. but if you can get people to Petite Maman, I think it will go down well, and it won't take up too much of their time either. But speaking of lovely music, now that we've gone through all of our highlights of the year, we must get on to another Harold McShiel classic from the upcoming EP.
Indeed.
Harold, what is this one? What have you got for us? What have you retooled?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be on the phone to Prog Magazine about this one, but it's Only You. Jake, you can remind me who the Flying Pickets, is it?
So the Flying Pickets was the a cappella Christmas number one in the
UK. Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't the original. Perfect. It was originally by Yazoo.
Nice. Thank you. But yeah, so this is a Ghiblified version of Only You. Similar to the previous, let's see if I can nail this on the first take, but
there are some syllables here that I will be amazed if you...
There's a lot to squeeze in this one.
Right, well, let's have a go, eh? Looking from the window of a bus, it's like a story of love. Take, oh, can you hear me? Recalling only yesterday, I'm moving further away. Want you near me? Remembering the bad pineapple. Remembering flying on a crush. And all I ever knew, only you. Do 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 do
do. Incredible scenes. How does he do it?
That was heavenly, a heavenly rendition, which feeds in very well into our own heavenly rendition of the Nativity play, as picked and cast by you listeners. So we need to flesh out this cast here. Where do we start? We've got some suggestions from Twitter, some emails as well. Let's start. Daniel Martin comes straight in here with Nauschka as Jesus. So that's an...
I mean, that film does present her as Jesus. She even has like the Christ-like resurrection at the end. So,
but,
total fit.
But maybe not a baby Jesus. I feel this is for a wraparound narrative.
That's a good point.
Wraparound narrative where that baby grows up to be Nauschka. He also wants the Mamayoto boys as the three wise men.
I'm not sure how wise they are.
They're not particularly wise.
They do bring gold, though. So.
Very fair point. Speaking of the gold, Sam Clements, friend of the show, has a suggestion for what we could swap in for the props here. So the three wise men bring in gold, frankincense and myrrh. We can swap them in for treasured Ghibli food items, which is the corn on the cob from My Neighbor Totoro, the pineapple, as recently sung about by Harold from Only Yesterday, and then the fish pie from Kiki's Delivery Service. I know gold, frankincense and myrrh, they're not particularly, I mean, maybe gold is still as cherished as the other two today. You've got the corn there, which May is howling, bawling, crying, holding. You've got the pineapple, which may look beautiful, but it doesn't taste very nice. And then the fish pie. Not sure how desirable those three are.
I don't understand the hate for the fish pie. I would eat it. I don't.
I love a fish pie.
I love a fish pie.
Yeah. It's got a little pastry fish on the top.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into
People
it.
Are sleeping on the fish pie.
And finally, let's say the most important part in any nativity play is the little donkey. And Luke D at The Quiet Lad has cast that for us. Of course, Yakul from Princess Mononoke as the little donkey. He says, if Yakul is not cast as a little donkey, there's a problem. No problem here. Happy with that casting.
Yeah. There was another great tweet suggesting the three wise men being the three tanuki when they turn into the older gents in Pompoko with all the kind of late 80s, early 90s styling.
I must say, though, the three wise men are Hayao Miyazaki, Isao Takahata and Toshio Suzuki cameoing in this as seen in the poster from The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness. I think that's the perfect answer for me.
Well, so lots of great answers on Twitter, but we had one standout email from Jessica Jones, who really went for it here and painted a real portrait of our dream Ghibli nativity scene. So she says, baby Jesus, Ponyo, obviously. Yes, great shout, inspired. Mary, Lisa, like she's just going to be so cute and proud of Ponyo, and I can imagine her being all grateful with the three wise men's gifts. I can get behind it. We all like Lisa. She is perhaps the best Ghibli mum, and you know, who's a better mum than Mary? And then for Mary's Joseph, I mean Joseph who? We're just going to have Sasuke instead because Joseph doesn't do much anyway. Absolutely, fair enough. The three wise men, no face because he's the OG gold present boy. He does have lots of gold. Hal, he has lots of potions. Imagine he'll be bringing some frankincense. Yes, yep. And then Nauschka, she's pretty wise, and myrrh apparently comes from trees, and she loves ecology, so it sort of fits.
Yeah.
Good thinking. And bucks the trend of the Nauschka Jesus imagery. You know, she was a wise man the whole time. All the angels are Kodamas, apart from Gabriel, who is the forest spirit. The shepherds, just Princess Mononoke and all her wolves tending to all the forest around. The wolves can come say hi to Ponyo because Ponyo would love them. She's even gone as far as casting the star. We're just going to put in Calcifer free and zooming around the sky with his chaotic energy. And then Santa, who I don't remember in the original nativity, but for a cameo at the end because there are too many kids at Ghibli school, so they need more parts. So Porco Rosso as the Santa here, bringing grumpy Santa energy like the 1991 Father Christmas animation from Raymond Briggs. What an inspired answer. Thank you, Jessica.
Well, if we ever put this on, Jessica needs to be our casting director, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if anyone's listening and is bored on Christmas Day and wants to get the Photoshop open and assemble that nativity, we would love to see it. Okay. Well, now that we've finished our nativity, it's time for another carol, I think. So, Harold, for one last time, what are you going to sing for us?
Well, this time it's maybe not the most obvious of sources for Christmas songs, but a Christmas song nonetheless. It's the Beach Boys with Little Saint Nick and, of course, Ghiblified to Little Norse Prince.
Should we do the, like, Little Norse Prince at the end?
Yes, please.
I think you can, Steph.
Yeah. I think this one's going to be... God knows. I don't think I've ever heard this before.
God only knows.
But I had a quick listen beforehand. I'll see what I can do. Yeah.
Go on, Michael. Give him a beat. Help him out.
We've got to try and go high as well and get some of the Beach Boys vibes. Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about a prince that you've all been told. He's a real famous boy on adventures great, brought to life a tack had a back in 68. It's the Little Norse Prince.
Little Norse Prince.
It's the Little Norse Prince.
Little Norse Prince.
I think that's it. We've peaked.
Superb.
Steph on backing vocals on the BVs.
Wow. Oh, wow. 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 Oh, Brian Wilson would be proud of those production values.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we have enough for an album now. So
yeah,
look out
absolutely.
For that.
Yeah, that's one thing we'll have to do next year, among other things. So let's wrap up this Christmas special by looking ahead to 2022. What are we going to be doing in 2022? What can we announce? Jake?
Oh, I don't know, Michael. Maybe we should announce a new series of the podcast. What? Anyone keeping an eagle eye on our Twitter would, I'm sure, have figured this out a long time ago. But yes, we are going to be looking at the films of Mamoru Hosoda starting, wait for it, in just a few days' time. That's right. The 31st of December, we will be leaping to The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. We know about the stuff before that, and we will be talking about that, but we're looking at him carving out his own path, and from The Girl Who Leapt Through Time onwards, we'll be working our way through all of his films, and then a few extra bonus bits and pieces as well, right?
All the way through to Belle, that big new release that we just mentioned earlier, coming up in the early months of next year. Oh, it's so great to get to dive into another filmography, and we hope you'll all come along with us for the journey. But it wouldn't be an end of year Christmas special without us saying, listeners, thank you so much for joining us on the crazy journey that has been Ghibli Attack, as we've gone from your earbuds onto the printed page and back again. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in for the Hosodathon as that begins on 31st of December. Until then, you can keep up with us at Ghibliotech on Twitter, ghibliotech.pod on Instagram. Send us an email, ghibli@little.studios.com. You can also find us all individually. Jake on Twitter at Jake H. Cunningham.
You've got Harold on Twitter at Harold A. Sheel.
And Harold, you know Steph's. It's a good to do Steph.
You got Steph on Twitter at _ Steph Watts.
And you got Michael on Twitter at Michael J. Leader.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.